on California, Doc, have you read the Hebrew myth for the book of Genesis by Robert Graves?
Yeah, I have. People like that need to listen to me a while. Some people, never learning, never finding the truth. I'm going to teach on Genesis, verse by verse. You know where the dragon worship and the serpent worship around the world really came from? I was teaching about the canopy, Bale's theory, Isaac Bale's theory, that swirling band. Now, there's evidence of at least two different ages with the canopy, which might give some credence. Two readings like Edgar Casey had. One was a kind of an icy canopy until the light that would shine through that canopy just sort of get an idea of it with icy crystals in the upper reaches of that canopy. 40 miles up. Maybe 22 miles to the bottom of it, and another 22 miles of the waters above. The serpent was always in the sky. The second canopy period, the one, I believe, during the post-Adam and pre-flood stage, could have been a swirling vapor-like. And the lights of the real heaven, as we now know it, the sun and the moon and the stars that rule time, they were beyond it. If it shined through, it would look like... I just might find a picture. I don't know now. If you hold your breath, get away from me. If I need you, I'll call you Mike. You aren't hearing? I need you, I'll call you. I don't want you over here taking pictures till I'm ready for the picture to be taken. I might just find this. Kind of an interesting little drawing. Maybe I brought the wrong one. I think I did. I think I brought the wrong one. Probably can't find it. Damn it. But then again, I might. Let's see. If I can't see it, I didn't bring it. Yeah, I did. I'll give you a picture of the great deep. Now, I taught the other night that Isaac Bale... You can come over here now, Mike. I taught that Isaac Bale's theory of the canopy, Genesis makes it very clear. The deep was divided with what the King James calls firmament, which is rakia. It's expanse, really, literally. It was divided. And the water below then horizontally separated into land and sea. And the water above remained. Now, in all the ancient myths, the serpent was viewed as the sun coverer and the hider of the sun and the enemy, literally, of the sun, who was worshipped first. Now, the sun would be seen, if at all. Here's a picture of it. The sun would be seen shining through the deep or the waters above that were separated by the firmament, which is the expanse from the waters below. The sun would hit that broad deep that is above and would come through as a brilliant light spot, but you wouldn't really see the sun per se. And the morning of the day and the evening of the day, there would be a great light and a lesser light. And I showed you pictures of the other night from Jupiter of the cloud canopy that just rotated around that globe with shimmering lights and with ice crystals on the top. They would take on colors of red and blues, and as the winds would shift it across, never seeing the sun except at the opening, the island in the sky. The canopy would have bands in it of light and darkness, and it would open near the pole. That's where the real brilliant heaven would be seen. That's why the outlet to heaven was always viewed to the north. At the poles, it would open to the sky, but the people living under the canopy would just see the variegated colors as the canopy would revolve. And the wind currents and the attempts to adjust the temperature would make it slither across the sky like a serpent. Now, all the ancient myths have the serpent worship first. Now, as I was teaching on the stars in the hour before we came on live in New York City and Birmingham, which was an hour and 12 minutes ago, long before we came on live in the cities we're now talking to, the condemnation of Paul in the book of Romans is that he wrote his message in the skies in the beginning, but they began to worship the creation instead of the creator, the creature instead of the creator. Now, of course, some limit God's meaning there and spend the whole time attacking the gays. God's talking about a much bigger subject than that. He's talking about his message written in the skies from the beginning. He wrote a message that unraveled through 26,000 years of the precession of the equinoxes. Bishop Usher is not God. He's the guy that figured out the date, 4004 B.C., that Adam was supposed to be created, using genealogies. You can't prove anything with genealogies. They speak of a grandson, the great-grandson is the son. You have no proof of genealogy that will stand up, tell you the age of the earl. That's a medieval bishop. At the same time he figured those things out, people thought the world was flat. I'm tired of the Bible being stomped on by people because of certain ignoramuses being put in the place of God. Bishop Usher was not God. He just studied genealogies. Now, somewhere back before the flood in that canopy, the sky, the light of the heavens, was viewed as a great dragon or serpent as it swept across, many colored across the sky. And they personified him in their myths. The serpent was always worshipped first. One of the things that's puzzled people who study mythology is how that the sun, as we know it, came to be worshipped after the serpent was worshipped. Now, I know the biblical frame, which is totally different. But Satan always has his imitations. And that great dragon that slithered across the sky was the movement in the heavens that they worshipped. And then there was war in all the myths against the one that covered the sun, and the one that fought and sought to enclose the sun, like putting Osiris in the coffin in the Egyptian mythology, that sought to shut out the sun and enclose the sun, lost the battle. In Grecian mythology, Jove's bolts hit it, and it lost the battle, and it fell from the sky. And the sun was revealed with the canopy gone. The victor over the one that was the sun hider, as his name means so many times, a coverer or a hider. In those myths, you have personification in heathen myths of an actual happening of the canopy giving way and the luminaries of the heavens being seen after the flood. I get so sick of these people that know more about Ms. than they do about the Bible writing things. I'm responding to that question. They destroy people's faith. Just keep watching me. I know all about these Ms. That's why I change majors on every degree, seeking truth. But I came back to solid faith in God, and God's Word will survive the test of all these things. That's why I'm on TV trying to strike that middle ground between the liberal skeptics that never knew much about the Bible. I did my dissertation on Reinhold Niebuhr. Reinhold Niebuhr was a spokesman of liberalism. Liberalism thought sin was ignorance and education was salvation, and man by his own learning would usher in the millennium. Reinhold Niebuhr, Karl Barth, Paul Tillich, and Emil Brunner, the leading voices of neo-orthodoxy, had that shattered by the Industrial Revolution and two world wars. And they saw that men that were educated could still be evil. And they then began to study the Bible. They'd studied everything else. And they came, Niebuhr went so far as to say, and most of the neo-orthodox men to say, the Bible contains truth. They wouldn't go so far as to say it is truth. But it's called New Orthodoxy or Neo-Orthodoxy because they had to come back to God's Word to sort out the confusion of their shattered liberalism. And the church world has always seemed to swing in those two pendulums, the liberal skeptics that learn enough about everything else but not enough about God's Word to know that God's Word becomes the key that sorts it all out and synthesizes it, or the fanatics on the other end that put the blinders on and never read anything but the Bible. God's been speaking in ways other than the Bible for a long time. He's always been speaking. And that's what we're trying to do, to answer that question.